Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
He didn't invent the quarterback.
How you doing?
But he did invent quarterback tears.
Stop tears.
Here's our NFL insider, Mike Sando of The Athletic, on the program.
Let's talk some football. Had a lot of free agent moves. Had a little bit of draft talk. We got people moving around. You know the draft is less than 4 weeks away, Curtis?
What?
Yes.
Dude.
Yes, you heard me right.
It's crazy.
We talk NFL football with our NFL insider, Mike Sando, from The Athletic. He's proudly brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, the official health care provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. Did you know walk-in care is available, orthopedic walk-in care? If you suffer a sports injury or an injury in everyday life that requires orthopedic care, you can walk right in. Whether you're playing sports or just slipping on the curb, the University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care at 435 and all. It is open weekdays. 8 to 7, Saturdays 8 to 2. You can learn more right now at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics. Let's welcome Mike Sando. And Mike, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing great. Excited for the draft, as I think we all are, and love anytime somebody can create an index based upon Kirk Cousins.
Oh, that's me. I can easily. I could probably create an index on everybody. Each guy could have his own index. How about that?
Kirk Cousins index. Top 10 NFL quarterbacks whose contracts have outweighed their play. When did you come up with this for a what was the inspiration? Just another big deal for Kirk Cousins?
A little bit. You know, just a little bit. And I love that kind of debate of what to do, right? When you have a good quarterback, but you want to have a different quarterback because this guy makes so much money but probably isn't going to, you know, overcome or carry you all the way across the finish line, right? It's that whole thing of, do you want to, if you're treading water, do you want to risk drowning to get to the beach, right? And that's where you're kind of at. So for a team like Atlanta that's been so bad at quarterback, shoot, Kirk Cousins looks like Patrick Mahomes, right? We'd do anything to just have that. Their coaches are on the edge of their seat going, oh, could we just get Cousins? And if you're in Minnesota, you've kind of seen this enough years and you're thinking, I don't know, do we want to do this forever? Let's try to get something else, shake it up. Maybe we'll have raise the ceiling and, you know, maybe we'll fall flat on our faces and all get fired, but let's at least give it a shot. So I do think it's a great kind of debate, without necessarily a right answer all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Let me ask you about a guy. Well, let's start at number 10. Number 10 is Alex Smith. And I think some Chiefs fans would be like, of course. Others would be like, wait a minute, how'd that work? What was Alex Smith's problem?
Well, so first let's just all explain how this index was created. So what I basically did was, you know, I do the quarterback tier survey every summer where I talk to 50 coaches and executives, and we put all the veteran starting quarterbacks into tiers. So we have that as one way to kind of, you know, to rank the quarterbacks, right? We can rank them 1, 2, 3 that way. So Patrick Mahomes is number one. You know, down in the 30s would be, you know, whoever's a bad quarterback. And then we take that number, whatever your ranking is, and divide it by where you rank in salary, your average salary. On average over the years. So that's how you get, like, somebody like Alex Smith, who did really well for himself, made a ton of money, but was never really, he probably earned more money. His ranking in the quarterback tiers was lower than his ranking was in salary, right? So he was never really perceived to be quite as good as what he made. On poor. So that's why he would be there on the list. Not super high on the list, but, you know, he made it into the 10 on the fringe.
I think you made a great point when you were talking about the Atlanta Falcons and, you know, they're talking about teams that, you know, covet something like, well, what looks good to you? Well, it depends on where you're at, right? When you're at, you know, Matt Castle, Alex Smith looks great. But after 5-6 years of that, you're like, well, wait a minute, we need better. And I'm intrigued by a name that's not on the list. How close was Dak Prescott to being on this list?
Well, Dak Prescott, he was a little bit skewed because he could be on it in the future if we changed the date range. The issue was with him coming in early on in his career, his salary ranking was so low because he was a fourth-round pick that it skewed that. So I think, you know, his first 3 years in the league, maybe his it was the reverse, right? Like his salary might have been 60th among quarterbacks, right? And yeah. His ranking was 15th or 12th or, you know, whatever. So it actually made him look good. But I did think of that, like if we just started this when his veteran contract started, he could get there. But the thing about Dak is, like, he's kind of hung around that top 12-ish range. His ranking in quarterback tiers hasn't been low. It's not like people are putting him as number 22. He still kind of goes solidly in tier two.
If we did this by dollars per playoff win, how do you think it would change?
Well, you know, it would change some because just have the difference between four playoff wins and one would be exponentially different, right? The divisor, you know, would be completely, totally different. So, you know, somebody like Joe Flacco, who's on the list, did have a four-game run of glory. You know, at the same time, to play devil's advocate to what you're saying, what was Peyton Manning's playoff ratio through 6-7 years of his career? All money, no playoffs, right? So,
well, playoffs, yeah. Just not that many wins. Yeah.
But yeah, he didn't win. I don't know if he won hardly any in his first 5-6 years.
Yeah, that's a good point. You'd have to give points for getting to the playoffs because having, you know, getting to five playoffs in a row and losing all five games is very different than not making the playoffs at all. So, yeah, you'd probably have to factor it a different way. What I think is interesting about the list is that, you know, you got Alex Smith, Jimmy Garoppolo, you've got Ryan Tannehill. I'm going bottom to top. Ryan Tannehill, 8. 7, Eli Manning. 6, Carson Palmer. 5, Sam Bradford. 4, Jay Cutler. 3, Joe Flacco. 2, Colin Kaepernick, which is its own unique situation. And 1, Kirk Cousins. And what's amazing is they all are kind of like Alex Smith in the sense that, other than Sam Bradford, right, which was its own unique circumstance, a lot of them were, I guess not Eli, but the Tannehills, the Alex Smiths, you know, they were guys
Cutler.
Cutler. They were guys that teams had no quarterback, and it's like they were a definite upgrade. It's just like when you then wanted to take the next step, they couldn't do it.
Oh, it's absolutely. You know, I once lived in an apartment that my share of the rent was $150. You know, and it was great at the time. I would not want to live there now, right? I mean, after I lived in better homes. So, you know, it is all very relative, and I think that defines your tolerance for risk sometimes, right?
Oh, for sure. For sure.
The other thing I think is interesting, I'm going to get into this next week when I do my 32-team analysis of all of the phrases. When you look at what Minnesota's done, compare it to some of these other teams. Like, obviously, the Chiefs made the transition away from Alex Smith, but they already had Mahomes for a year. They never had, like, a Darnold year in between, right? Mm-hmm. Or, like, you know, Dallas had Tony Romo, and they were going to move on from him, but they had Dak already, and he'd been in their program, right, for, like, a whole year, so they liked him. Or, you know, the Packers were deciding, hey, geez, let's get ready to move on from Rodgers here. But they already had a guy who'd been on their team for like 3 years, right? They didn't do what Minnesota's doing, which is there's no Jordan Love there. There's no Mahomes there. There's no Dak there. They're bringing in Darnold. I mean, anything could happen, right? They could win 4 games.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, when you bring in Darnold, I think it's an interesting experiment because what if they are pretty much the same? You know, I mean, I know they didn't have Cousins for part of the year, but the same as what they've been with Cousins. Then, you and I have been talking about it. I've been bringing it up, like, when there'll be a middle class of quarterbacks. And maybe we're finally one-year, $10 million. You know, that's not necessarily the middle. It's not halfway between 55 and zero. But there is kind of like I'm intrigued that the Vikings are the ones that have finally said, enough. Like, paying that much money, you better be a true difference maker, and Kirk Cousins is good, but he's not a difference maker. So let's make the rest of our team good around a cheaper guy.
Yeah, and it's not just Darnold. They're obviously maneuvering to draft one. So their whole outlook will look different for at least a year, and it'll seem real positive, let's just say, when they draft whoever, right? Now, eventually we'll find out if whoever they draft is any good. But for a year, with maybe Darnold starting to start the year, their plan is going to look good even if they lose, because they'll have some sort of a alternative for the future, and then we'll find out, right? But they've kind of painted themselves into a bit of a corner here, where you better be able to get up in the draft and get a quarterback you like. It'll be interesting. Hey, shoot, maybe they sit there and get Michael Penix, and he's better than all of them. We don't really know.
Do you think the price to move up in the draft is going to be expensive, or? I thought last year the trade-offs were awfully cheap.
I don't have them in front of me, but I thought, you know, Arizona's done pretty well. I think Chicago did pretty well. So, but to come from that, where's Minnesota and Denver, you know, in that kind of 11, 12, somewhere in their 13 range, to get up to, let's say, 4, you probably have to get to 4, maybe 5 if you're lucky, but to 4 to feel good about it. That's a pretty good jump.
Do you believe that J.J. McCarthy's making his way into the top 5?
Yes. My football GM podcast co-host, Randy Mueller, said that was a very big possibility back in December, and everybody laughed at him. But the thinking was that the eval is a little complicated because of the style of offense that they're in, but if you look at the traits, you're going to like it. And then the other thing is, it wasn't sure if he was going to come out, and so there wasn't a lot of people that were looking at him as in detail. Then what happens is we get to this part of the process. Now the coaches start to look at him, too, so you get much more eyes on him, and so that creates the perception of rising, but it's really just sort of being evaluated maybe for the first time fully on par with some of the other guys that are coming out this year.
Yeah, do you think you're going to have to go clear to 4 to get him, or the Chargers and Jim Harbaugh going to be moving around as well?
I think that 4th will be the spot to go, because when you start looking at those teams, you know, whether it's Arizona, whether it's the Chargers, and let's just say there's, you know, a lot of speculation of an offensive lineman or a wide receiver. Well, there's three of those. There's at least three top guys at each position. You don't have to get the first one if you're one of those teams. So if there are going to be quarterbacks up there, there's not a huge risk in moving down and just taking yourself all the way out of a good tackle or receiver. Because even if you got back to 12 or whatever it is, you could always, you know, try to come back up to 8 or something, right? You've got some firepower. Certainly Arizona has a bunch already to be able to do that. And Minnesota is trying to get some, too. So,
Is Joe Flacco at number 3 on your list the cautionary tale of don't overpay your quarterback for team success?
A little bit, except that I don't know what you do when you win the Super Bowl and your quarterback's like 11 touchdowns, no interceptions in the playoffs, completely on fire. You know, do you decide right then that we're just going to move on from him because he's not worth it? You sort of pay what it takes to do a deal at that point, and that's kind of what happens. I think them, the Ravens, more than other teams, were able to stay good on defense and special teams even after they paid him. They did a really good job of that. Very hard to do. Most teams have a hard time doing that, but they did a great job. So, you know, yes, they paid him too much, but I don't know. That's easy to say when you didn't just win the Super Bowl because of him. He carried him through the playoffs.
Yeah. By the way, you're a Hall of Fame voter. Eli Manning is on the list at 7. I think there should be a healthy debate around him, but some people are like, he's first ballot. And some people are like, he doesn't belong. Now, then, yeah. And most people say he won two Super Bowls in New York. It doesn't matter. All New York players get in. Well, you've been around those conversations.
Last name Manning.
Yeah, what do you think?
So there isn't a set criteria for the Hall of Fame, which, you know, sometimes I really wish there were for these players, but if there were a set criteria, we wouldn't, you know, you just qualify in like week 12 of your 12th season. Oh, he's in. He hit the – so that's not the way it works. So I find – I lean this way towards – to get in the Hall of Fame, I think you have to have been one of the great dominant players at your position for a while. Close to a decade. I never felt like Eli Manning was one of the greatest quarterbacks, not only in league history, but when he was playing, he wasn't one of the great quarterbacks. Now, he did win two Super Bowls and make huge plays, and then you balance out the rest of his career playing forever and not missing games. That all gives him a case that, you know, I think does have to be considered. I'm not closed-minded to it, but I just want those guys to go in to really be like, oh, my, oh, wow, we are playing Patrick Mahomes this week, right? We are playing Drew Brees. He might get 400 yards on us. I don't think you really – I think when you play Eli Manning, you're like, you know, defensively, we might get a couple – we're going to get our hands on the ball a couple times here.
How do you balance out at this point in the process of the Pro Football Hall of Fame who should get in and who, to this point – they have let in? Is there a time where you say, well, we've done been doing this for 60 years, we can't raise the fence and change it? Or do you say now's the time to take a stand? Because there's a lot of guys who've been in the Pro Football Hall of Fame who aren't anything near the criteria that you described.
Yeah, I think the way that I would probably fix it, for lack of a better word, would be don't have a requirement. Well, it's not required, but it's set up to where five modern era guys are pretty much going to get in every year. There's five slots, and yes, in the end, after they've made the final five, there's still a yes-no vote, and they need to get 80% of the yes. But I think if you made it more possible to only have two guys get in a given year, it would be frustrating for people, but I think it's okay to err on the side of that, but it feels to me like either the hall, the league, some combination, even voters, like having a set class every year, but that's almost like a quota for the Hall of Fame every year, and are there always that many guys that are deserving, or does it become a little bit more relative, and then you're eventually now, hey, this guy made it, so what about this other guy who normally wouldn't be considered, right? But then you start having the standards get lowered, and there's guys who get in who didn't have long careers, who were injured a lot, and then that lets somebody else bring in another guy. You know, I would like to err a little bit more on the side of elite of the elite, and that goes for coaches too. I think the bar's been, you know, hasn't been at its highest peak in that realm either lately.
You know, I've had this conversation with our buddy Bob Glauber, and what I hear is they're like, well, I remember when Will Shields was up. It's like, well, Will Shields can't go in because this guy, and this guy got to get in. And then the next year, this guy.
And Randall McDaniel waited this many years, and so Will has to wait this many plus one or whatever.
Yeah, and to your point about, well, the five, you know, having to have five, I'm okay with that if you know, you still are voting the best guys in, but guys go in that are clearly inferior to newer guys that were better because there seems to be this, we want to get, you know, our crew in there.
Sometimes it does feel that way where, it's a lot less scripted like that than you think. You know, here's the issue with it. Just mathematically, I've always explained this this way. When you have 15 slots with five guys who can make it, there are 3,000 unique combinations of five that are possible. There's a lot of weird math that happens when these votes are going down. There's secret ballots. We don't see how anyone else votes. There's just a lot of combinations that can happen. And there's a lot of ways you can fill out your ballot. So if you're doing your ballot, I would challenge anybody when you get the list of 15, if you had a couple buddies, do it. Each of you pick your five. You know, and once you pick your five, you'll start to see that it is difficult. Because what will happen is all right, you're doing our five here. Okay, there's three wide receivers. Well, I'm not putting three receivers on my five, right? Yeah, I'll pick one. I'll go with Torrey Holt, whatever. You do yours. You pick, you know, I'm not going to do three wide receivers, but I'll do Reggie Wayne. And then the third guy goes, you know, I'm going to do the same thing, but Andre Johnson. And then none of them make it. And all three of them might be, or certainly one of the three is among the best five. But do you see how your mind went when you're doing your ballot? You make choices within your own ballot that when everyone else is doing the same thing can make guys wait longer. A guard like Will Shields, if there's another guard up, are we putting in three guards this year?
Yeah.
No. And so you're like, oh, how did Will Shields not get in? This guy did. But it's just not that straightforward. It's not like we don't all come to a consensus of what the final five are. The five that make it may be nobody's original five. You know, just mathematically, that would be possible.
Woody, we're talking to Mike Sando from The Athletic, our NFL insider. What do you think of the Chiefs offseason? Retaining Chris Jones on a big check, trading L'Jarius Sneed, signing Hollywood Brown. What do you make of what they've gotten done?
I think it's been fine. You know, I would have liked to. I think going in, I would have, you know, you would have hoped to have gotten more for Sneed, but you can kind of see how these deals work. Shoot, Brian Burns got a 2 and a 5 because the teams that are paying the big salaries aren't going to give up as much for someone who needs a new contract. So I think that, you know, there's at least the comps there are showing that the Chiefs didn't make some huge stumble. That may just been what the market is. But I think it pretty much makes sense for their team. And I think they've also done a very good job of drafting and developing players, especially on defense. So I think I'm fine with it. Was there something you wanted to see that didn't happen or a mistake or what?
I would like to see them get a left tackle at some point. Like bringing back Donovan Smith would make me happy because I'm not convinced Wanya Morris is a starting tackle in this league. And if you went to camp and Wanya Morris beat out the older guy, fine. Put him on the bench, you know, sign him to a one-year deal. And if he doesn't win the job, fine. You know, listen, they see him in practice. They're better at it. If they love him, great. Then, like, if they do go to training camp and Wanya Morris is the number one left tackle on this team, I'm going to assume that they know something I don't. But He had some good snaps, some bad. That's the one thing. And they've got time to do it. Donovan Smith is still out there. And there's a lot of really good tackles, although, you know, there's a mock draft I'll talk about next hour that has, like, 8 offensive tackles going before the Chiefs ever get there.
Yeah, and when you really look, you know, so Tyron Smith was out there for $6.5 million. So I think, that would look good all offseason, and then when he misses the playoffs or something, wouldn't you feel like, okay, you know, would you want to do that? You know, Trent Brown was a right tackle who got 4.75. George Fant, a swing tackle, got 4.5. I guess Jonah Williams went to Arizona, right? No, Cincinnati. Yeah, Jonah Williams went to Arizona for 15 a year. That's probably out of their price range. So, you know, it wasn't like there was a long list of guys there that you'd feel great about being there every week.
No, I agree. And that's why I think Donovan Smith, and I'm sure Donovan Smith went, well, I want a championship. Let me take a tour. And now he's sitting there, and I think the same kind of deal he signed last year for a little bit more money because I think he earned it would make me feel better. What would really make me feel better is then re-signing one and then drafting one of the guys in the first round. I mean, that would be my dream scenario because I just, like, I want two things they got to do. The Hollywood Brown thing's good. That was getting Rashee Rice was big. Like, weapons and protection for Mahomes. Like, because you won last year doesn't make it the plan. You got it done. And I think they've got to, at some point, whether they like it or not, they paid so much for Juwan Taylor. He's going to be on the right side. And I think he was fine once they got going. But I'd really like to see him solve the other tackle spot. And I think that's where you invest your money in. And I think if there were a guy available, maybe, you know, Chris Jones isn't here. But you're right. I don't see the guy that they slept on by any stretch of the imagination. But I think it might be worth an expensive trade up to go get a guy that you feel like can solve that issue.
Yeah, that would be nice. I could get behind that. I think that could make some sense. I don't know how high you'd have to get somebody at the tackle position, but that could make some sense. Now I don't know what could be available to them after the draft. If you remember, I thought last season Baltimore did a nice job just adding some guys late. Whether it was Jadeveon Clowney or I think Odell Beckham for them were later guys that were picked up. So maybe there's some way that they could find somebody later, maybe make a trade on draft day, like you said. Maybe it's for a veteran. Maybe it's to move up to get a guy. But I agree. I think they have time. It's just the guys that came off the board, like we said, I don't fault them for not doing it.
Anyone's off season you love?
It's funny, all of this free agency happens and then the Super Bowl odds don't change at all, but I think Atlanta clearly has the best chance to win additional games because of what they did, but are they just going to become Minnesota, right? I mean, I think Cousins, and he's got to be healthy, but I think he adds 2-3 wins for them. And so there's no other move, there's no other team that's adding 2 or 3 wins off of this. I think Arizona is a team no one talks about, but I've kind of liked what they're doing overall. And, this offseason they've added a little bit to their lines, and they just seem like they've been adding a bunch of draft picks, and they just seem like they have a long-term plan, which is a big shift from where they were before, where they were always signing 15 veteran guys, to $5 million a year contracts and just never getting anywhere. So they seem like a team that isn't going to get over the top, but is just a slow and steady, maybe heading in the right direction.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't heard that one. I love hearing that. Are you a believer that Caleb Williams is a surefire? Like, at a previous 1-1s, are we Eli Manning, John Elway, or are we Carson Palmer? Are we, what do you think we're looking at here with Caleb Williams?
Yeah, well, I think John Elway is in a whole different category of almost anyone. I wouldn't put him, Eli Manning, even near him. On that. So hold on 1 second here. An unusual request, but trust me, I'll tell you what it is.
Okay. We're talking to Mike Sando, our NFL insider from The Athletic, best in the business when it comes to breaking down the NFL, as he joins us here in the program. So we talk a little.
Yeah, your best guy here just realized that his laptop, which is controlling this conversation, wasn't plugged in. I was supposed to plug it back in so that we got the little warning. I thought, geez, you just might lose me overall. So that would never happen to Glauber. I apologize for that.
Yes, it would. But, yes, it would. And it happens to Curtis every day as we sit here in the studio.
It's unbelievable. And then the other thing is I got enough cords here that I might have plugged in the wrong one if I'm not careful.
When you said unusual request, I was like, someone bothering you for blood and urine? What's going on?
No. Nothing's going on. I just didn't want to have this thing fade out. So rephrase the question, Mr.
Caleb Williams. Like, where does he? You said John Elway's in a class by himself, but amongst like other 1-1s, what do you kind of think he's going to be?
Yeah, I would say, I'd probably still rather have Andrew Luck, but maybe not too many notches beneath that. Okay. I'd say definitely a cut above the ones, for the most part, that we've seen picked lately.
Okay.
Doesn't guarantee anything, but that's just sort of my feel. And I really, there's so much draft analysis out there, and I read almost none of it. So I rely on maybe a smaller group of people that I really trust. I don't evaluate them myself. And so doing the podcast every week with Randy Mueller, who's been all over this stuff and does a great job evaluating, I do wind up kind of cheating off his test a little bit. I know he really likes him and then doesn't like Drake May as much. So he would be more like LSU, Jaden Daniels, number two, and then maybe McCarthy coming in there pretty quick after that. I know someone else who's a real good long-term coach who's had a lot of success. A couple guys who have the Michael Penix guy second. Isn't that interesting?
Wow, really?
Yeah, a couple guys that I respect. So, yeah, I think it will be very interesting. It just takes one team to like a certain guy, but it wouldn't surprise me if Williams go one, and then there could be a little bit of volatility over, just depending on who's there, what their own opinion is. There could be some different opinions on them.
Well, good. I hope Penix is sitting there at 32 and somebody wants to come up and get him and the Chiefs can roll back and get more picks. Yeah. We're talking to Mike Sando. He's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, just like our Final Four is brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, the official health care provider of the Kansas City Current. The University of Kansas Health System recognizes the unique challenges that female athletes face. That's why they created the region's only female athlete program, helping student athletes and adult weekend warriors reach their full potential. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/female athlete. Mike, I will start you with this. What type of computer are we plugging in?
Definitely a MacBook Pro. I used to have PCs custom built for me that were pretty expensive. I've always wanted to have a lot of horsepower, and I had someone. I'd had, Apples many years ago, and Macintosh was going way back, but I hadn't had one for a long time. And he's like, just trust me. Just try out this MacBook Pro. And it was like I gave my expensive custom one to my son the next day. Once I got one, I love the MacBook Pros.
Yeah. All right. Good to know. Is Eberflus still the head coach of the Bears in 25?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Did you see him at the league meetings? I mean, the guy's gone over. He's got a makeover. I think Kyle Long was having some fun. He said he hopes the Bears' offense is as good as Eberflus's new hair, which was and he described it perfectly. The perfect amount of vertical components. And starting to gel. It was a great little tweet on there. So, I think the quarterbacks. I think they've got a little bit of a longer term plan. I don't think they're going to fall flat on their face because he did a great job with their defense after they got Montez Sweat last year. So I think he may be growing into the role.
Okay, how's your bracket?
For the first time in a long time, I didn't do a bracket, but I'm in a survivor pool that I've done for years, and I'm still alive. But I did buy four teams going in, so I'm down to one team. I was really debating who I've got to make picks by tonight. So my choices here, I put this together. So I was leaning towards maybe doing Illinois and Marquette, just because at this point you've got to. You can't just save for the future. You got to win this round, So you can't just go. You just can't be too risky. But I'm still trying to figure that out.
Okay. I like it. All right. And finally, are you a fan of the NFL draft city hopping?
Yeah. I think I'm fine with that. I think it was cool to have a lot of fans there. I could see if it was, if I was a fan of a team or in a region, I could see going. Now I will say this. I loved having the Super Bowl in Vegas. So I would, if you were going to have it in one spot, I'd love to have it there. I think it's a great event city, obviously. You can get a lot of people going there. You could decide, let's go to the draft. And you could have so much fun beyond the draft itself. So I could see... I could see having it there, too.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the Super Bowl was great in Vegas. I concur on that one for sure. It's always great talking to you, Mike. You're the man. We encourage everybody to check out his great work at The Athletic. Mike, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you down the road.
That's the always plugged in, Mike Sando.
Always. Next time. Always plugged in. You're the man. Mike Sando from The Athletic.
All right, the good sense. End of the hour answer. Five players have been the Royals' opening day leadoff hitter in their only season with the team. I asked for any one of the five.
Nori Aoki.
Nori Aoki, 2014.
Nailed it.
You win.
I win.
Yep.
I'm going to Good Sense.
Hell yeah.
GoodSenseSubs.com. Here I come.
I could use it.
I can.
Other chicken right now.
I can order in like four clicks. I need to look what it is when you open it up. Because if you're logged in and then you put last order again, mm-hmm. which if you're like me, it's always the same order.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
Most people, that's
I have the family.
And that's very
whole family.
Helpful.
Click, click, click.
Yep.
Done.
Because usually when you go to a place, that's you tend to get the same kind of thing, but you like it particular. So normally one of the more time consuming things is when you go, I want this. No, not here. Four all clicks, done,
all ready
walk
to go.
In, there it is.
And if you have that app, well, first off, if you don't have it, get it. But if you have young children that are old enough to fiddle around on your phone but not quite know what's going on, make sure your phone's locked so they're just pushing buttons, because you don't want to risk them hitting a bunch of buttons and all of a sudden a couple hundred bucks have been ordered at Good Sense or something like that that you didn't know about.
I would find that pretty hard.
I'd finish it off.
I've just heard that. I've never heard of it happening at Good Sense. I've heard of it happening with like Amazon. Every now and then it'll come up that in the news, these weird news stories that everybody knows I love, it'll be like, toddler accidentally orders $1,000 worth of stuff on
Amazon. Or the Grubhub or some stupid thing.
Yeah.
You can put your order in for dinner tonight.
It's so easy that a toddler or one of us idiots can use it.
Sure. You put your order in for tonight, pick what time you want to pick it up, and it'll be ready.
Yep.
Even have the beverage poured and ready to go for you. Good Sense, GoodSenseSubs.com. Celebrating 35 years in Kansas City, founded right here in Lenexa, Kansas.
So you got one of the five. There's been one since Nori Aoki, and there were four before him. Or three before him. Wait, one, two.
I don't know.
Yes. 2018. Do you remember John Jay even being here?
Yes.
He was. I barely do. One was a fan favorite, Coco Crisp in 2009.
Oh, yeah.
Chuck Knoblauch in 2002. And the first one in 1990, Gerald Perry.
I remember all of them.
By the way, the Royals lost all five games.
Did they really?
Yes.
Well, that won't be the case
this year. 14 was a good team.
Because they did not have a one-time guy.
Nope.
So, it is the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Just give away Good Sense. You can get your Good Sense tonight. The Chiefs have signed a rugby player.
Mm-hmm.
Luis Reese Zimmet.
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 What a great name.
Zimmet, Bobby.
Reese.
Zimmet, Reese.
Zimmet, Bobby.
No, oh, I tell you what.
He's Welsh.
That guy's a heck of a rugby player.
He is Welsh. What do we think the plan is here?
This is the one team, I think, that could find a way to use him as more than just... To use him as a gadget guy and not have it be a waste of a spot. Just because of Andy Reid. I think he can find ways to do it. I think it's largely because of the change in the kickoff rule. He certainly would be valuable there. He is. It falls under the new rules where you can have a 17th player, an international player, on your practice squad and not have to. You can have a 17th player if he's an international player. He's just like any other player on the practice squad. You can have him elevated standard three times. If you want him to stay for more than that, you have to put him on the active roster. He also won't count as a roster spot in camp. So when they have to make cutdowns, if he's there, he'll be exempted. But I don't know that you would if they bring him up. I don't think it's just going to be a three game thing like a lot. Usually, when you see a guy who's elevated during a season from the squad, it's a depth thing. This guy, this isn't a depth thing. He's one of one for his particular skill set. So I think if they bring him up, they're going to bring him up to play for a while. Wouldn't you think? This doesn't strike me as a guy, well, if we need him, we'll get him. I think if they like what he can do, I think he makes the team.
I think the talk around maybe being a kickoff specialty guy, mm-hmm. I think there's probably something there. I think they're like, let's get him in camp. Let's see what he can do. Maybe he's a hybrid running back receiver. Let's see what kind of hands he's got.
Mm-hmm.
He's tough. You know, I mean, he has to tackle as well.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's head is spinning on offense, but maybe he's a safety.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think that the idea is let's get him in here, see what he is. I would assume the plan is a practice squad for a year and then figure it out beyond that. We talked some NFL draft. Josh Edwards does a great job breaking down the NFL draft. He's going to join us in our next segment, and we'll get his thoughts on the tackle, wide receiver, mm-hmm. corner, D-tackle positions, ones where the Chiefs theoretically have a need. I think we'd all agree. There's a bit of a need there. So looking forward to talking to Josh. Petro, Seabolt, Dravetta with you here in the program. Isn't it nice to see all the conversation about quarterbacks and have nothing to worry about?
I always wondered what it would be like, and it's actually even better.
It's great.
Every team is trying to solve that riddle, and you're just going, got that.
Every day. Like, I get started, and I have get up on. Every day, Dak Prescott.
It's unreal.
I mean, it's like, I get it. Like, the Cowboys are the talk, and I guess Good Morning Football is a big competitor, so they just pound away, and it's always about Dak Prescott.
Do the ratings, and you guys know more about this than I do, the game ratings reflect that? Because so much, not just in sports, but a lot of older pieces of industry are sort of living in the past still. Is the notion that the Cowboys are still the team just perpetuated by executives who believe and producers who believe that, or is there truth to it?
I think they've got a big fan base, but what I think is going to be interesting to see is, you know, 10 years after Patrick Mahomes, how much are the Chiefs the topic? Now, Dallas is a major market. So just by their home fans, because, like, we're not hearing much Packer talk now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, they should be talking about Jordan Love's contract if you really want to get into the quarterback. You know, what's expensive at quarterback and how much should you pay? His contract should be more talked about because he had a fine season. But did he have a $55 million season?
Yeah, did he have a $200 million contract season, 4 years, that what people are talking about?
You know, those are the things that are interesting to me.
Yeah.
And the talk about Prescott, they can't do anything. Like, next year, okay. They could walk next year, but they're not going anywhere. So, and it is puzzling. No Giants talk. A little. There is quite a bit of Jets talk because they've been active. And now Aaron Rodgers is theoretically back.
And maybe a little Bears talk because of the first pick. But every day, one of the things I do is that we have a page we go through ESPN that we can get sound clips and people either post-game stuff, play-by-play stuff, or guests that have been on the ESPN shows. And every single day, there's at least one clip that says Dak on it. Just look into this. This is yesterday's. I haven't looked into Dan Orlovsky, Dak and McCarthy, gone unless Cowboys make NFC Championship. Kimberly Martin, Dak only back if Cowboys win Super Bowl. Different shows. You come down a little bit, another one. Adam Schefter, Dak's contact situation with the Cowboys. Every single day, there are two or three comments about Dak Prescott.
And what's amazing
never
is
fails.
2 or 3 years ago, whenever he signed that deal, everyone was losing their mind that they hadn't signed Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
And now it's like, it's just, it's funny. And I just sit back and like, wow. Like, Patrick Mahomes is so good, they don't talk about him now.
I know.
Early on, he was that talk.
Yeah.
Now it's like, well, you know, no one's in his class, so let's talk about these.
Everyone else.
He's dog bites man.
Yeah.
Mid-level. This is dog bites man.
Yeah, it's similar to talk about these mid-level, big market quarterbacks. It's a whole new world.
It's pretty good.
Whole new world. All right, Josh Edwards covers the NFL draft for CBS Sports. We break it down from a Chiefs angle with him next here in the program.
All right, who is the only player born in England to be named to multiple Pro Bowls? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.